what the next man's going through.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Luff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest, Dave Itzkoff, has just put together a book that I cannot wait to read. It's called Robin, about the life and times of Robin Williams. Dave, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on today.
I have to say this right at the very beginning. In my lifetime, there have been a handful of incidents where somebody has passed away that I've never met, just somebody who means something to me. John Belushi was like that. Freddie Prinze was like that. And when you find out that these people are no longer amongst us, like Robin Williams, it just tears at you. It rips your heart out. Boy, what a loss.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote his obituary for the New York Times, and I had, interviewed him on a few occasions, and I'm right there with you. I mean, the experience of really trying to just write a piece about him with the knowledge that he was dead, it was very difficult and really bittersweet. It was just so sad.
And not only was it sad to hear about his death, but in the way in which he died, it was just a shock to many of us, all of us, I might even say.
Yeah, I think that if you perceive him as somebody either who was essentially joyous or at least got a lot of pleasure from bringing joy to other people and to then kind of come to an understanding that there was a lot more pain and suffering in that person's life, it's a very hard thing to reconcile.
For people who don't know, Robin took his own life. Now, do you think, Dave, that if he hadn't had, he wasn't suffering from the illness that he was suffering from, he would have taken his own life? Or what do you think?
Well, it's hard to know, but I mean, certainly the disease that he had, and this was not fully understood or discovered until after his death, and an autopsy was conducted that they found evidence in his brain tissue of what's called Lewy body disease or Lewy body dementia, which is a progressive disease that not only attacks the motor part of your brain, which of course handles how you move and walk around, but parts of your brain that deal with cognition and perception and just how you process information. And it's hard to know, even in those last hours, even did he understand who he was, what he was doing? Was it something that was either premeditated, or was it just a kind of terrible impulse that he happened to act on? Even now, it's really hard to know or to point to which of those answers is the right one, and we may not know.
And when we found out that it was suicide, when we first heard that news, I just feel like it gave suicide a voice finally, where you didn't have to be ashamed about it, and maybe it helped other people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it did certainly give rise in those first few days to a kind of wide-ranging conversation about mental health and depression, and that was, I think, certainly a constructive conversation to have, and did give people a sense of feeling more open about it. But I think the specifics of what Robin was actually going through, at the end of his life, it was more complicated than that. And again, this is, though he did certainly have depression in his life, the disease that he had is not something that can be sort of treated, let's say, with medicine or with therapy. People can continue to live with it, but it is progressive and degenerative, and so is a little bit different than I think the initial conclusion that most people drew, based on whatever information we had at the time. We didn't know all the facts until much later.
We're talking to Dave Itzkoff. He's written a book called Robin, about the life of the great Robin Williams. Dave, over the years, I've met so many people who knew Robin. Some of them knew him very well. Some of them only worked with him once or twice. But the same theme comes up all the time whenever discussing Robin Williams. Genius, no doubt about it, genius, but a guy who always needed to be the funniest guy in the room. He was always on. Did you find that to be true?
It's interesting because certainly even in like one-on-one conversations with him, he was much more subdued and thoughtful and contemplative. But even then, you would still see him sort of slip into a voice or a character. And this is just him and me talking, maybe in a hotel room or on a private plane. And I think there was a part of him that was just sort of how he communicated. That was part of his vocabulary at that point. And he liked making the other person laugh and putting them at ease, but I think it also made him feel more comfortable to be around somebody he didn't totally know. Being a character or doing a voice was a way to kind of protect himself a little bit.
Now, this book of yours entitled Robin, again, Dave Itzkoff on the line with us, this kind of focuses on the last few months of his life.
Well, it's the totality of his life. It's going all the way back to not only his origins, his childhood, and his parents, but a little bit of the family history before he was born. Because I think once you understand his parents in particular, you start to get a sense of how they could have only produced a child like Robin. That you know, he had a father who was very wealthy and successful as a Ford executive, also a World War II veteran, and a very sort of strict, upright man. His mother was a socialite and from a kind of southern aristocracy and very convivial, had a really wild sense of humor, not unlike Robin's. But both were kind of absent from his life at times, and especially in his upbringing. And that sense of solitude and loneliness really stuck with him throughout his life.
He idolized Jonathan Winters. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Winters is maybe the only other comedian I can think of who did anything sort of similar to or akin to what Robin would end up doing as a performer. Winters, very famously on the Jack Parr show, there's a routine that he did where Parr just gave him a stick, and Winters proceeds to just sort of make up a whole series of characters just using the stick as a prop for each of the roles. And not only did that have a big impact on, I think, Robin and how he performed, but that was one of the few things that Robin and his dad could really bond over. I mean, Robin vividly remembers watching that performance with his dad late at night and seeing his dad laugh at it, and Robin kind of thinking to himself, okay, this is a way that I can get through to my father. This is something that we can connect over. And I think that had a huge influence in steering Robin in the professional path that he took.
Years later, on Mork and Mindy, they brought Jonathan Winters in to play Mirth, the son of Mork and Mindy. And whenever you'd see them, because they would do press together, and Robin Williams just seemed to be in heaven, so in love with those moments of spending time with his idol.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, Winters, I think if you look at his life a little bit, also was as talented and as funny as he was also kind of a little bit of a wounded figure. He was diagnosed with bipolar, and he had been hospitalized a couple of times as a younger man. And the two of them became great friends, but also, you know, Winters continued to correspond with Robin throughout his life. And there was a lot of love in those letters, but also a kind of a neediness that just always wanting to see Robin, wanting Robin to come by. And, you know, I think it points to the kind of man that I think Robin became a little bit later in his own life.
And his need to seek attention, too. I mean, that makes total sense.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our guest is Dave Itzkoff. He's put together a fantastic book called Robin about the life of the great Robin Williams. We'll come back and talk more. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You know, as we come to the end of this phase of our life, we find ourselves trying to remember the good times and trying to forget the bad times. And we find ourselves thinking about the future. We start to worry, thinking, what am I going to do? Where am I going to be in 10 years? But I say to you, hey, look at me.
Dave Itzkoff is our guest. He has written a book called Robin about the life of the great Robin Williams. We can't say enough about the genius of Robin Williams. You know, sometimes, Dave, when I'd see him in a movie, he had a couple of different versions of Robin Williams, but sometimes he'd come out and just be as dramatic and fantastic as you could ever want an actor to be. And then you have to remind yourself, he was a classically trained actor. You shouldn't be surprised by that, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he does get a kind of bad rap, for example, as a comedian who sort of one day woke up and decided that now he wanted to be taken seriously as an actor. He had trained for several years, not only the 3 years that he spent at Juilliard, but time that he spent at two previous colleges, really focusing on acting and training on the stage, and was in a number of regional productions. If you had been in you know, Marin County in 1971, you could have seen him play Fagin in Oliver, which must have been totally wild.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he sort of fell backwards into the stand-up comedy in a way that was something he did when he came back to San Francisco after dropping out of Juilliard, just because San Francisco happened to be having a kind of resurgence of stand-up, and it was much more far out and less structured than the stand-up of, let's say, the 50s and 60s, and that was something that really suited Robin and that he took to. But he was always very serious as well about his acting pursuits, and was sort of going on both tracks throughout his career, and I think you see that in the dramatic performances that he had. Of course, the skill and the aptitude to pull them off.
I'm feeling a little guilty because I was not a huge fan of Robin Williams' stand-up, but I loved him in his dramatic roles so much, and of course I loved Mork. But I feel a little guilty saying that out loud, but he wasn't always everyone's cup of tea with his stand-up.
No, and it really evolved. Certainly if you look at some of the earliest stand-up that he was doing, I mean, it always had that kind of rapid-fire quality, but those earliest days, they were much more sort of character pieces and just kind of quick hits. It really took him a while to kind of develop as somebody who told, I think, more personal stories about himself that he was genuinely invested in. And that very last tour of his, which was really more about experiences with alcoholism and rehab and getting divorced and having heart surgery. Again, that was very much driven by things that were happening in his life, but it took him a long time to feel, I think, comfortable enough just opening up to an audience in that way and sharing that with them.
Dave, for a while after Robin had died, if Billy Crystal was on a talk show and they'd ask him about Robin Williams, he would smile but had a tear in his eye at the same time as he would tell a story about his friendship with Robin. What was your experience? I know you interviewed Billy for the book. What did he tell you?
Well, I was really it was kind of amazing that, you know, he was so, I think, frank and open with me. I'm not giving myself much credit for that, but just that I think he was willing to sort of talk about the totality of their friendship. I mean, going all the way back to some of their earliest meetings before they became friends, when they were just performing on the same bill together and were maybe even kind of sizing each up a little bit and looking at one another like, is this somebody that's going to be a rival of mine? Is this somebody who's going to take work away from me? Is he going to be a competitor of mine? And of course, they did become great friends, but then Billy also saw Robin in some of those last months when the symptoms and the effects of his disease were really making themselves known. And I think Robin was one of the first people to come to him when at least he was told that he had a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And Billy, who knew Muhammad Ali during his life, was trying to help Robin out and suggest to him, well, here are doctors you could see, here are centers you could be treated at, and really trying to be as good a friend to him as he could.
Someone has texted us while we're talking to you. Please tell Dave, almost finished with the book. It's terrific. Also, I enjoy following him on Twitter. Very funny.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Dave, isn't it funny how if you look at the giants of comedy over the last 15, 20, 25 years, they all had a respect for him. What you just said about Billy Crystal, I saw with Billy Crystal, but I also saw it with Whoopi Goldberg and almost anybody that ever shared a stage with him, where even them, the greatest minds in comedy, were blown away by his ability.
Yeah, I think there was something really touching and special about those sort of earliest, like the comic relief telethons that they used to do on HBO. And the three of them, Billy and Robin and Whoopi, didn't previously have a lot of experience, certainly performing as a trio. And you see them kind of figuring each other out on stage and trying to, you know, who gets to talk and who gets the spotlight in a given moment. And, you know, Robin just, I think, just was delighted to get to play off of both of them, to really feel like he had partners who were, trying to be as quick and as off the wall as he was.
New York Times cultural reporter and author of Robin. His name is Dave Itzkoff. We cannot wait to read the book. We're in the process of moving studios right now, so we didn't get our copies, but
that's okay.
We cannot wait to read it.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I hope it lives up to this conversation at the very least.
Dave, thanks so much. As Wendy said, we're very, very anxious, and we've heard nothing but great things. So take care of yourself and keep cranking out the great books.
Give me like four more years.
All right.
We'll talk to you then.
Thank you so much. Fair. Bye, Dave. That's Dave Itzkoff. Again, his book is called Robin. It's about the great Robin Williams. We'll take a quick break and then some news. And then Dean Richards joins us. Find out some new twists and turns in the Roseanne Barr story. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.